Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's a culture war, the religious right has started it. The religious right has this book that they're trying to make the world follow.
Shutting down government is unbiblical. Because government has a biblical responsibility to care for the poor, they're against poor people.
God told me that we are our brother's keeper. The labor movement is our brother's keeper. So help me God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. There's a guy walking in front of me, and he's doing about 3 miles an hour. Hey, young man, while you are walking to class, where are you going right now?
Going to Spanish.
Going to Spanish. Could I have a conversation with you in English on the radio while you're walking?
Sure.
Cool. Do you know any Spanish yet?
Yeah, I do. Quite a bit.
All right. Tell me, how do you say freakishly skinny?
Demasiado delgado.
Well done. Delgado?
Yeah.
What's delgado?
Thin, skinny.
Thin, skinny. All right. So I'd be a delgado, right?
Yeah.
And you'd be a...
I don't know.
You'd be a unit. That's the word. That's an Australian word. Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, guys like you who are kind of built.
Yeah.
You're a unit. That's what they call you.
All right.
So my unit friend, where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta.
Oh, you're from the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Are you a Bible Belter?
Not really.
I'm looking for a Bible Belt kind of guy. Do you ever go to church?
Yeah.
What kind of church you go to?
Episcopalian.
Terrific. Then, as an Episcopalian, I want to ask you kind of a... It sounds like a political question, but really it's a moral issue. Where are you at on the whole universal health care concept? Should government be providing health care to everybody in this country?
Sure, if they can find a way to foot the bill that doesn't increase taxes, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, so short of that, you're for it.
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think the concept of the safety net in and of itself is a good idea, which is what we already have. I think it's overburdened with a lot of people who don't pay taxes in general, non-citizens and the like. But it's a good concept. I don't know if it needs to be expanded to...
Well, I want to ask you a question now. As an Episcopalian,
yeah,
what informs you from the Bible, which is, I presume, is your holy book,
right,
what informs you of those sentiments that you just expressed to me?
I don't think it's anything from the Bible. I think it's just my view on how government should work.
Okay, and so where did that information come from? What convinced you that's the way it should go?
I'm not sure. Probably just growing up, family I was growing up in, they kind of let me figure stuff out on my own, and that's what I guess I've come to.
You listen to a lot of Rush Limbaugh, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
No?
I would love to see him run over by a bus, but...
Really?
Know.
How come?
Well,
that's not very Episcopalian of you.
Well, you know, I believe the masses are uninformed, and to have someone like him, you know, leading the charge.
No, I have to tell you. I thought you just told me that you never listened to him.
I don't.
You should be run over by a bus.
I do. I've heard what he says. His quotes show up everywhere. I mean, he's got, like, what, a $500 million contract to do what he does?
He makes a lot of dough.
Yeah, he does. So.
Yeah. All right. Now, tell me, as an Episcopalian, it sounds like you're sort of Episcopalian. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, more or less. I think I kind of tend to keep it separate from a lot of things just because it makes life easier.
In what regard?
I think that living by what you believe, especially religiously, that's one way to do it. I don't necessarily choose to do that. I think you can have some separation from, you know, your day-to-day life and then, you know, what you do outside of, you know, your normal interactions, you know, at school, work, what have you. So
okay, so let me try to write a parable. Do you know what that is? Kind of a story to bring about a point.
Right.
If I told you that I'm a member of PETA,
mm-hmm,
right, and I go to a PETA meeting on occasion,
right,
probably about Christmas and Easter, go to a PETA meeting, but then during the day, I'm busy strangling cats.
Mm.
What would you think about me?
I would think you're a very confused individual.
Okay. Is my parable accurate?
In what regard?
You just said you've got religious beliefs, but they don't inform the rest of your day, or you keep them kind of separate. You're not going to hurt me, are you? Because you're a unit, and I'm a delgado.
No,
remember.
I don't think it's entirely accurate. I mean, you could, you know, believe that. I mean, obviously, if you look through history, you can find several examples of people who, you know, believed one set of things, then they went off and did a totally different, you know...
Those people are called hypocrites, aren't they?
Yeah, generally. I mean, but...
So is it that you maybe just don't believe the Episcopalian stuff very much, and it really doesn't make its way into your life, because otherwise you would be a hypocrite.
Not necessarily. I think if I look over my life and, you know, compare and contrast, it would probably be pretty similar, but it wouldn't be because of what I believed.
So have you lived by the standards of the Bible?
Not always.
At all?
But not everyone does.
Oh, I agree with that, right?
Yeah.
So, for instance, have you, I think lying is an anti-biblical principle. How many lies have you told in your life?
Not too many. I frown upon lying in general.
Yeah, I hate lying too, but you've done it, right?
Yeah, it happens.
Okay, so you've failed on that standard.
Sure.
Okay. How many times, I'll give you a biblical quote. You ready?
Yeah.
Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, don't commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Have you ever been guilty of that?
Sure. I mean, but I haven't been married. You know, I haven't been...
Yeah, that's the point, though. You don't have to be.
Okay.
Look, lust, guilty.
Okay. Well, then sure. I think a lot of guys are.
Yeah, I would guess every guy is, frankly.
Right.
You know, maybe even worse looking at pornography or even fornicating.
Right.
Would be even magnified even worse, but I want to ask you those personal questions.
Right.
All right. What about stealing? Ever stolen anything, even small, from your parents?
No.
Nothing?
Nope.
Okay, downloading music?
Nope.
All right. Giving your employer everything that you should give?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so you haven't stolen.
No.
But you've lied.
Yeah.
And you've lusted, which is adultery of the heart. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yeah, probably in extreme moments of anger. Sure I have.
That's a big no-no.
Yeah, no.
And if you've been really angry, Jesus said that if you're angry with somebody without cause, you're in danger of judgment because you're a murderer at heart. You don't have to commit the act. Think it guilty.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever been angry at someone without cause. I try to let a lot of stuff go.
Yeah, it's happened.
Yeah.
Driving on the roads, especially here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I really don't get road rage. I learned to get over that quickly.
Yeah, sounds like you had it in the past, maybe.
No, I mean it's just the way it is. You adapt to your surroundings, and you know it's not for certain people. Certain people, certain situations, find themselves challenged in different ways.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so let's try to summarize our little situation here.
Okay.
You die.
Mm-hmm.
God judges you. He opens up the books on your life, every thought, every word, every deed, everything that you failed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he's going to bang his gavel and say innocent or guilty?
Couldn't tell you.
Well,
honestly, couldn't tell you.
Well, you just confessed to me that you've broken the laws.
Yeah.
Sounds like a guilty to me.
Well, depends on, there's the whole concept of forgiveness. You know, I mean, I don't think I've ever tried to put myself above any of those laws ever intentionally, and if I do, you know, I've regretted it, and you know, so it's...
Well, that's good. I mean, a criminal should regret his crimes,
right.
But he's still guilty.
Right, he's still guilty.
No matter how many tears he sheds,
true.
Still guilty.
But is it one strike, you're out?
Well, actually, according to the Bible, it is. All liars will have their part in a lake of fire. You break one law, you're guilty of breaking all of them.
True.
Because it demonstrates that you're a lawbreaker. You're against the law, and the law is God.
Right, then
per the guilty.
Per the literal interpretation of all parts of the Bible, you know, there's a lot of stuff that would be seemingly contradictory, especially New Testament versus Old, and depending on how, you know, a specific church, you know, determines that they should interpret.
I'm going to quote a verse for you.
Okay.
And you tell me what this means, right? This, you're just going to have to trust I'm doing this accurately. Okay. God, the just judge of all the world, will judge all people according to what they have done. And he will pour out his anger and his wrath on everybody who refuses to repent, who practices evil deeds, and lives for himself. There will be trouble and calamity on that day. Can you give me an interpretation of that?
I think that would probably tend to say that, you know, I guess at the final judgment, whether it be the final judgment or the final judgment of said person, that, you know, according to how that person has lived, God will judge accordingly.
And
by his standards.
Pour out his wrath on anybody who's broken the law.
Right.
And you've broken the law.
And failed to repent.
And failed to repent, exactly. So you'd be in God's scope then, right?
I think I've repented for what I've done. If I've ever done something to break any one of the commandments.
What does it mean to repent?
I think to repent means to not just be truly sorry for, but to make corrective action and not do
I agree
that
with
thing
you.
Again.
There's one other thing though about being forgiven by God. Mm-hmm. He uses two words, repentance and faith.
Right.
You need to do that thing you just described in repentance. Just say, I'm absolutely guilty.
Right.
I mean, there's no question about it. I'm going to get ground to powder. I'm in big trouble. But right. Jesus died for my sins. He shed his blood that I could be forgiven. He took the punishment I deserved. And you trust that it's true and it actually happened.
Yeah.
And if you repent and put your trust in him, then your sins can be forgiven based on
That's
what
right.
Jesus did, but not because you're really sorry or you've tried to do some good things.
Right.
Being saved by grace through faith in Jesus.
I agree with that, yeah.
Now, have you done that?
I believe so.
So if I got all your pals together and I said, hey, what's the most important thing in his life? What does he love more than anything else? What would they say?
You know, I don't know. Because a lot of my friends, you know, they aren't part of my faith, so
yeah.
I wouldn't, they wouldn't see me in that setting.
I'm not your judge.
Right.
Okay? So as you're walking to Spanish class,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in Spanish or English, be thinking, wow, is God the primary affection of my life?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're living in a way that demonstrates he's not, then maybe you haven't repented and put your trust in Jesus. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Hey, young man, thank you for not hurting the skinny guy.
No problem.
All right, man.
All right.
Thanks for chatting with me. I appreciate it very much. All right, see you. That was a unit, and this is Wretched Radio.
You might not see them, but the world keeps handing you chains. Chains of fear, chains of people-pleasing, chains of self-love disguised as confidence. And on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, she's cutting through the lies. This is Intelligent Talk Radio for women, because real freedom doesn't come from looking inside yourself. It comes from looking up to Christ. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke, or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. You know what's remarkable? Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, three of them in the top 2%. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Giffert, John Krotz, Libby Glossin, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app, completely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your king.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Know your reformers. William Tyndale provided the first complete translation of the New Testament into English in 1526. While he was in prison for the crime of translating the Bible, he continued to translate the Old Testament until he was strangled and burned at the stake in 1536. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do you know the geography of Albania? I do, because I studied hard watching Cheers. It's Wretched Radio. I'm sitting on a bench at Georgia Tech with Evie from Albania. It does border on the Adriatic, doesn't it?
It does.
What are the main exports?
I'm not sure.
I know this.
Coal and zinc.
Yeah. What are the main religions in Albania?
It's either Catholicism or Islam, or is Muslim.
Yeah. What's the breakdown, percentage-wise?
It's about... 70-30 Catholicism.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
What about Christian or Evangelical or Baptist or Methodist, any of those?
I'm not really sure.
Not much? So it's predominantly Catholic.
Yeah.
All right. Is there a lot of tension in that country?
Yeah, always.
Violence?
Yeah.
Based, as best you can tell, is it mostly Muslim, Islamic violence toward the Catholics or Catholics towards the Muslims?
I don't think it's much violence between, religious areas, just between, different geographical areas, In Kosovo, between the Serbs and the Albanians, there's always violence there.
But isn't really there some religious tension involved with those?
Yeah, there's some, just because most of northern Albanians are Islamic.
Right.
So I'm guessing, yeah, probably.
Yeah. All right. And you've been living in the country since you were a child, really,
yeah.
Right? Right. But you're Roman Catholic and Albanian.
Yep.
Okay. Right before we took a break, Evie, we were talking about our little human conundrum.
Yep.
That if you and I got judged by God, broken the laws, God should send him to hell. And that's a depressing thought.
Yeah.
And there's something about us that really hopes, wow, I hope God is more merciful and loving than that.
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise we're in big trouble.
Yeah.
But here's the tension, Evie. Let's just say God is loving. But he's also just. We've now got tension.
Right.
God is loving and merciful, and he'd like to forgive sinners like us. But he's just, so he's got to punish lawbreakers. So he can't turn a blind eye to justice and say, well, I'm just going to let Evie go because I'm a nice God.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pay the fine for the crimes that you've committed. Who's paid the fine for the crimes that you've committed?
I don't know. I don't know who does, other than me.
What do you got hanging on your neck?
A cross.
Yeah. What happened on the cross?
Jesus was crucified.
Why?
Because,
who is Jesus?
He's the Son of God.
He's God himself, took on human form, came to this earth, kept every law that you and I have broken. He never lusted, he never lied, he never stole, he never dishonored his parents. He always honored God, he always loved people, always. But then he died on a cross. You know how that went down, don't you?
Yeah.
They arrested him because the people, the Jews, were angry that he was blaspheming by claiming to be God, which he is. And they beat him and then hung him on a cross. To die naked, bloody, bruised. You couldn't even tell he looked like a human being. God did that to pay the punishment, the crime, the fine for your sins. That's what was happening on the cross. That's why so many people wear that thing around your neck. Because it symbolizes that God died for you, a sinner, so that the wrath of God could be satisfied, and so that God could demonstrate his kindness and his love to you, a sinner. You've broken God's laws, and Jesus paid your fine. God can have you in his kingdom. He can save you and bring you in based on the merits of Jesus. You can be forgiven for everything you've ever done, not on your own merits, but on the merits of Jesus. And not only that, not only will you be found not guilty, but you'll be seen as righteous because Jesus did everything that you failed to do. He not only took the punishment, but he lived a perfect life on your behalf so that you could be made the righteousness of God. Adopted as his child, no longer at war with God, no longer an enemy of God, a child of God with all the heirs of sonship, adopted into his family because of the God-man who died on that cross. That's what Christianity teaches. There's good news for the sinner. You can't earn your way. You can't do enough to get there. All you've done is blown it. All you've done is sin. And if you think that you've been good enough to appease God, you've compounded your sinfulness because that's pride and self-righteousness, and it's not an honest assessment of ourself. We have to come clean with God and do what the Bible says. Humble ourselves before his hand like a little child. Doesn't try to make excuses for having his hand in the cookie jar. Just confesses his sin, apologizes, genuinely apologizes, and turns from sins. This isn't confessing sins to a man in a box. This is getting on your face before a holy God and saying, I'm sorry. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Bible says, if you will do that, Evie, if you'll repent and put your trust in Jesus, God says, I'll save you now because of what Jesus did. and he'll see you through his righteous deeds and his death on the cross, so that he can be glorified for being such a good God. So there we have justice figured out, we have love figured out, and mercy figured out, harmonized perfectly in that cross around your neck.
Wow.
That's what the Bible teaches. So now, this is the biggie, and this is between you and God, because I can't judge your heart.
Right.
You could be tolerating me right now for all I know. The Bible says you've got to repent. Say you're sorry. Agree with God. Lose any thought that you've done good, because you haven't. Either God's right on this or you are. And say, I'm sorry for all of your sins. You don't have to catalog every single sin that you've ever done.
Right.
God's looking for a broken heart and a contrite spirit, a childlike faith. Anybody who brags, God is going to send away. But anybody who acts like a child and humbles himself, he loves that attitude. And if you'll do that, if you'll say you're sorry and turn from your sins, it doesn't mean you become perfect, but you have a new attitude about them. I hate those things. I hate them because those are the things that put Jesus on that cross. And you throw yourself at his mercy and you put your trust in Jesus. In other words, you submit your will to him. You agree with him. It's all true. And God says if you'll repent and trust, he will save you. He'll make you his child. It's called being born again in the Bible. Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So I don't know if you've done that or not. You know, God knows. If you've humbled yourself before his mighty hand and he's made you his child, and you know for a fact you're not at war with God anymore, you've been reconciled by Jesus. Only you know that. So, dude, I would ask you, please, if you have not done that, I'm going to walk away now, and between you and God, please consider if what I'm saying to you is true, if it's biblical. I'm not here representing a church. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says by grace you can be saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. Because if you can do works to get to heaven, then you're going to tell everybody in heaven how good you were. And God is going to be able to tell everybody how good he is by dying for you, a sinner. So only you know if you've been born again or not. Please think about it and know this, that if you will humble yourself, he promises he will not cast you out. He promises. And you will know your conscience will be cleansed, your sins will be forgiven, you'll be in a right relationship with God. And it doesn't mean you don't study to be a biochemical engineer, whatever it is that you're doing here. But the center of your life now is Jesus. And you'll live your life for him, and it'll all be ordered right, and you'll grow in holiness. Not to perfection, but when you die, he'll take you to his kingdom because of Jesus' perfection. And it's a promise. You've got God's word on it.
Wow.
There you go. So what do you need to do to be saved?
All right.
You need to be humbled by it.
Right.
Just, hey, I'm sorry, with the right heart.
Yep. Yep. You don't need to go talk to anybody. You talk to God. You don't need to talk to me. You talk to God. So I'm just begging you as you sit underneath this tree. And he made you for his glory. He made you so that you could be saved. So all I can do is ask you to ponder today. You've got a Bible, right?
Yeah.
All right. Read it, see if what I'm saying is true. Don't trust me. Trust the word. It's the word of life. Okay.
Oh.
All right. I'll be praying for you as I walk around
here
today.
You.
All right, Evie. Thanks for the chat, huh?
No problem.
All right. See you, young man. It's Witness Wednesday here at Georgia Tech. What's going on with Evie? I can tell you what I see or saw, but I can't tell you what's going on with Evie. I have no idea. He has tears in his eye. He's somber. Wow, was the response. It could be an emotion. It could be heartburn. It could be the Holy Spirit of God convicting him of his sin, of righteousness, and the judgment to come. I don't know. And so if you've just tuned into this program and you're a Christian and maybe in the past you've heard people lead somebody into prayer, we don't do that. And the reason is, first of all, the Bible doesn't say to do it. It doesn't mean that somebody doesn't have to call out to God to be saved, but it doesn't say that we need to lead them in that. And furthermore, I don't know what's going on in Evie's heart. I don't know. And even if right now Evie is feeling some guilt or he's hearing the story and he's thinking, that's amazing good news, it could be quick emotionalism. Do you remember the parable that Jesus said is the one that you must understand or you won't understand any of them? Do you remember which one? The parable of the four soils. Evie We don't know. Evie could be one that I could have led into a prayer, and maybe he would have sprung up really quick and been very excited about Christian things. And then a year goes by, 2 years goes by, or even a week goes by, and Evie is nowhere to be found. Why? Because in Israel, right underneath the dirt, usually, there would be rock, bedrock, but it would be hard. And so typically what would happen is that if you would plant something, the seed that hit the dirt that had the rock underneath it, the root would go down, bang, hit the rock. What does it do? It shoots up out of the ground before it's established its root system. And that's exactly what Jesus was warning against. There are those who are stony ground hearers. And so we don't lead people in prayers. Here at Wretched Radio, we let God lead them. And that is far better. And that way we don't grant them assurance that doesn't exist. That way God can grant them assurance, because he's the one who's granting them repentance and faith. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.